Parshat Truma.
Okay, there's two Maimon Kol Moshe today.
Parshat Truma.
Okay. Oh wow, what a treat. Okay. In Parshas Truma, obviously you all know that the structure of the Mishkan is delineated. If you look at Perek Chavav, where it talks about where everything is placed in the Mishkan. This is in Chavav 35. So it tells you where you put things. V'santes al shulchan michutz laparoches. So the shulchan is placed, okay, outside the paroches. The paroches separates between the kodesh and the kodesh kodashim. Okay, and the menorah is nochach hashulchan atzela hamishkan teimana. The hashulchan titein atzela atzafon. So a person is walking into the kodesh kodashim. He's traveling from east to west. Okay, so he's going into the kodesh, and then what appears before him in the center is going to be the mizbeach hazav, which is not described in this parasha. It's described in next week's parasha. And then to the right, he's going to see the shulchan. To the left, okay, on the south side, he's going to see the menorah. Then you have the parochas, and inside is the Arun Kodesh. So the purpose of this shiur is to discuss what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu possibly have in mind, what Musar lesson, what lesson, Hashkafa, life lesson we can learn from why he decided to place things where he placed them in the Mishkan. And the idea to do this, the Kli Yakar spells it out the Feirush. He says, if you look at Maariv Makom 1, that in the Maisa Mishkan, the Kol Kela V'dini Asisam, okay, when Hashem describes to us and tells us what we must do to make the Mishkan, there's lots of Prate Din and B'Talmud Alayam. So there's not much really to add. Ein lehosif u'mimeno ein legroa. There's not much that we could add or take away from what it says already in the poskim, etc. There's not much room to figure out halachas. And a darshan in the Torah is not going to be focused so much on halachas. V'lo nishar lanu l'chadesh b'em davar. There's nothing to add. All of the mefarshim agreed. Lasos b'hem rimazim. What we're supposed to do when we're learning the parsha, these four parshas, there's so much ink in the Torah that's spilled, all to describe the structure of the Mishkan. So what does one do? We're supposed to learn remez, hints, al inyanim mistarim, that hidden things. O niglim, ki lo yitachin lomar. It's impossible to say shekol pratim elu hayu below kavana. All these details that Hashem described, every yuria, every hook, every single piece of gold in the Mishkan, every little type of string that goes into the big kahuna is described at length over here. So obviously it must be that there are remazim that we must focus on. And this is the way that most of the mefarshim on Tanakh, on Torah, wrote. Lasos bahem remazim ish lefi sichlo, each according to their own mind. Ze amar bekol veze bekol. Each of them say different things. And even Rashi, he goes on to describe that Rashi usually tries to say the pshat here in several places. He goes out of his way to show you some remazim that are here. Okay, so if we start, we realize that the Kodesh Kodashim is such an intensely holy place that the Kohen Gadol is only allowed to go there once a year with a certain kind of Torahs and Ayavo b'chalei sala Kodesh. Person has to be very careful about how he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim. The Kodesh itself, only certain people are allowed to come. These are very, very, very holy places. So the question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put things where he put things? Okay, so I'd like to show you in the Kli Yakar at the bottom. We're going to describe what the function of the Shulchan is. Then we're going to describe the function of the menorah. Okay, according to different mefarshim, we're going to take a little piece from here and a little piece from there, try to put that together and describe then what the Aron represents as well. So if you look at what the Shulchan represents, go to the bottom of the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar points out a fabulous thing. He says, if you look at all the midos in the Mishkan, the Aron, okay, everything was 1.5, this and a half. Everything's midos shvuros. These all halves. Okay, and if you look at the mizbeach, everything, all the midos by the mizbeach are whole. And if you look by the menorah, everything is there's some midos are half. Sorry, by the shulchan, some midos are half and some midos are whole. So look what he says to describe this about shulchan. What does the Shulchan represent? The Shulchan Merames. This is the bottom of the column, okay, right two lines before the bottom of the page, before you go to the left column. Aval HaShulchan Merames with Keter Malchus. Okay, the point of the Shulchan is to symbolize royalty. Why do we want to symbolize royalty? What does royalty imply? Not relevant to most of us. U'lechol hatzlachos ha'enoshios asher Yisrael zochen lehem mishulchan gavoa. All the Hatzlacha that Klal Yisrael has is represented by the Shulchan. The Shulchan, as a symbol of Malchus, it represents the height of Hatzlacha, of fortune that a person could have in this world. There's no greater materialistic, you know, possibility, okay, than being king. Okay, the king represents the culmination of all material success. Okay, he has everything, unlimited money, unlimited power. Okay, so Keter Malchus, that's what the Shulchan represents. The Shulchan on it has the bread, shows you Parnasa. Okay, you look on, he says, so therefore, since it symbolizes the perfection of physicality, okay, Hayu Amos of Ktsasam Shlemos, some of the Amos that are described were full, okay, two Amos, okay, not two and a half, okay. Why should it be that those Amos are full? Ki kol maskil, every intelligent person should be sameach b'chalko. You should look at it as if you have everything full, okay. What you have to have something. If you have nothing, okay, if you have nothing, then there's nothing, you know, then you're not going to be fooled. Okay? But you should look at what you have. Okay, if you look at what you have, as I have everything b'shlemus, okay, like the two amos of the, like the full amos of the mizbeach, that's the proper hashkafa. Okay, kilu yesh lo kol ve'enu chasel nashim uma. Like Yaakov said, yesh li kol, I have everything. Amnam ktsasam hayishvuros, but some of the measurements of the shulchan were and a half, were broken. Right, some were full to represent satisfaction with everything that you have. Okay, but some were broken. Why? Lahora shelo yashim adam tavasa mikol v'kol. They were broken to say that your goal should not be to be full. Okay, your goal should not be to be full in gashmius. You should understand that what you have is perfect, and you don't have to look at what you could get. Okay, as something you're missing. So we Hakadosh Baruch Hu said that the amos of the shulchan should be in halves. Okay, v'lo yitena lachomer kol avas nasha. You shouldn't put to gashmias, to the physical world, all of avas nasha, all of your taivas. Elat tzarich sheyishbor tavasa. So the idea of breaking your taiva and the idea of being happy with everything that you have is symbolizing Hakadosh Baruch Hu delineated how the amos should be. The whole amos in the shulchan represent being happy with everything that you have. And the half amos that are there, okay, are all to show you that you should not desire anymore, and you should control your taivos. So he says that's why lechem is called shvira, okay. We see pesukim that refer to shivri lechem mat lechem, shivri lechem mat ochel, okay, because you're supposed to break your taivos when it comes to lechem, gashmis, etc. Okay, so interestingly enough, I just on the way here, I was listening to it. Like, you turn off the I'm with you. Okay, so it's actually a very, very important thing. This idea, he mentions two things. It's not enough, okay? You're not going to have success in the Gashmi's world if you really have nothing. Okay, a person who doesn't have a job, a person who doesn't have a profession, pride in himself, is not going to be successful. He's going to be a schlep, okay? If a person is capable of learning Torah full day for real, okay, so there'll be people who are out there to support him. But the regular person, most people, even excellent people, they need some type of parnasa to support them. And this way, they can have satisfaction with what they have. He's telling the amidos of the shulchan were also shlemos. They were full. Because you have to be sameach with what you have. But why didn't we just say, why make all the amidos half? And say, don't desire anymore, because it's not real. To be a yid, you have to have a proper amount of gashmis in this world. A person has a dirana, kelim yafin, ishana, okay? It's a gishmak to walk through life like that. But a person who doesn't, Judaism does not go against the physical world, okay? And therefore the shulchan is an important component of ruchnis, okay? But with a certain amount of control. We have the midos shvuros, the broken midos, and we have the midos that are shlemos. Because we have to, within our physical lives, there has to be some balance. We can't live with nothing, because a person is just going to fall apart. But now, let's move over to the menorah. What does the menorah represent, on the other hand? So if you look at next week's parsha, okay, we'll still get the Chafetz Chaim now. So it says, V'ata titzav ez bnei Yisrael v'yukhu elecha shem en zayit zach katzis lamar. So the Torah stresses that the menorah's oil has to be fully pure, has to be perfect and pure. So the Chafetz Chaim says here, why does the Torah say katzis? Katzis is so fine. Like, for menachos, it's good enough not to have katzis. If you use a second oil, it's also okay. It's not so dirty, that oil. But for the shem en zayit of the menorah has to be absolutely perfect. Why is that? So he says, Chafetz Chaim goes on to say, Yesh lomar bazeh, there's a remez, okay, about the value, al erech shel kedushas or haTorah. The kedushas or haTorah, the hogeh, nosei d'galad, those who learn Torah, okay, carry the flag and banner of Torah, has to be pure. When you're learning Torah, your kavanas and your attention, how you start and how you're involved, has to be with a pure heart. Dinei yadua, it's known that the ner tamid is merame is for or Torah. Okay? Or hanetzav, a mekudash, the or that's derived, she'ora holat misof olam vatsofa ba'olamas al yonim, the or of Torah is an or that we can't imagine, it's a light. Okay, ukamamar hakasuv, like the or set, like the pasuk says, that ner is mitzvah, Torah or. What does it mean? So we always say that, ner mitzvah, Torah or. So the truth is, Kavana is af al pisha kol mitzvah. All mitzvahs are light. There's something holy and special that's netzal from the Or L'mala in all mitzvahs. All mitzvahs have an enlightening ability. We're better by the mitzvahs. It's not just that we put on tefillin to keep ourselves busy. Every single mitzvah that we're medactic on increases our closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we call that Or. That's a term called Or. But it's still not called Or. It's called Ner. So it's on a lower level. Why? Because A ner carries the light. It's involved with light. But the Torah is compared to Or itself. Okay, it's a much higher level. Torah is more netzal, more kedusha. It's the source of Or itself. Okay? So if you're gonna rank in importance, okay, mitzvos and Torah, okay, Torah is actually more important. There are rules because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do mitzvos, about how we choose when to do mitzvos, etc. After all, we can just say I'm learning Torah all the time. And in Achinami, there are some people who are supposed to be learning Torah even at the expense of mitzvos. Okay, you see, Shimon Bar Yochai, the Talmidim. There is obviously a value in Judaism where the value of Torah is so great, the order of Torah is so great, that it trumps even mitzvahs in many circumstances. Why? Because ner is mitzvah. Mitzvah is just like ner. But the Torah is the or of the ner itself. It's on a higher level. Okay, so he says, if we skip down to the next paragraph, V'lazo sivta ha-tarah kadosha, sheshemen ha-nidlach v'ner ha-tamid, yumizuchach, kol tzarcha. Therefore, since Torah is at such a high, lofty level, even greater than mitzvos, therefore the or has to be, the or of the menorah, which symbolizes the or of Torah, has to come from a source, okay, from the shemen, which causes the ner to, the light to come, has to be a perfect kind of an or. It has to be kassis, okay? Belishum sigim, no sul, no, not even another piece of the olive should be in there, just the first oil that comes out. Since the Or Torah is represented by kassis, because it has to be so perfect, and when it comes to Torah, a man has to strive that his involvement in Torah is all Kodesh. What does that mean? That means that when you're involved in Torah, so it's one. We understand that we have to get people into things, and we understand that there's a certain way, you know. It's not about I'm learning for challenge, or I'm learning for kavod, or I'm learning for stature in the social group. At some point, the person has to bring over his Torah after he's involved and realizes its great value. So the purpose of Torah is its light, it's the highest, loftiest level. I need to purify my intentions in it. The reason I'm learning Torah is not to get smicha. So that is my purpose of learning Torah, is because I want to be involved in the greatest possible way. Okay, of involvement in the world of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why we say Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. The Torah is Or, but it's telling you that if you want to be Zocha to that high level, which is so high because it's higher than mitzvos, the source of that has to come from a good place. That's why we need kassis. Your kavanas all have to be good. And the Chafetz Chaim, it's good to read inside, goes on to show how the great value of learning Torah that's absolutely pure. And of course, you say shalolishma balishma. Doesn't address this, okay? Because we still want you to be involved even without it. But when we're putting out the symbolism of the menorah, we're going for the ultimate, okay? Because on the shulchan we went for the ultimate. On the shulchan we went for the keter of melech. Why didn't we say the keter of the rich gevir? Why didn't we go to the melech? Because we're trying to show the ultimate goal of satisfaction with things in this world, okay? Satisfaction with gashmias. And on the other side, on the left side, is the menorah, which symbolizes the penultimate, okay, of ruchnias. Not just mitzvahs, not just Torah, but Torah from the purest source of all. That, both together, are placed in the Mishkan. So now the question is, why were they placed next to each other like that? If you look, the Rashi points out over here, how is it placed? Santes ha-shulchan. The shulchan is in the tzafon. Mashal min ha-kotel ha-tzvoni shtei amos ha-mechza. The shulchan is in the north. Okay, that's to the right. 2.5 amos away from the wall. The menorah is in the darom. Also 2.5. You see that there's a perfect balance in the Mishkan, okay, between the menorah and, the Mishkan between the menorah and the shulchan, which obviously means there's some kind of a great balance that's going on between Gashmias and Ruchnias, right? So so what's the relationship between them? So there's a pasuk, okay? And the pasuk says, that's the next page, on top, Marmakom 3, Vasisas Neroseha Shiva. The Neros of the menorah, there's supposed to be 7 of them. V'he'elas Neroseha, V'he'ir al Eiver Paneha. It's supposed to Me'ir on the Panim. So Rashi, if you look at Rashi in the Pesukim, anyone know what Rashi says? I don't know, you have a Chumash in front of you. Let's see how well you did Shani Mikra. What does Rashi say? What's the purpose of He'ir? What's Me'ir on what?
Where on the wicks.
Right. So Rashi says that the wicks are all pointing towards the Panim, and the Panim is referred to the middle candle. Okay? But the grandchildren, the Einaklach of Rashi, argue on Zedi. Okay? The Rashbam and the Daskin and the Balitosos, they say Ve'he'ir is actually very, very simple what it's Me'ir on. It's Meir on the Shulchan. The menorah lights on the Shulchan. Let's look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says in Maramakom 4, Yadlik Taptilos El Eivar Mul Pnei HaMenorah, which is Zehu Letzara Shulchan Shekinegdo. He says, that's a menorah, Nochach HaShulchan. The menorah is okay, facing the Shulchan. So when it's Heir El Eivar Panea, it's shedding light, casting light on the Shulchan. And Tosfos says the same thing. If we look at Maramakom 5, he says, Peirush, Veheira ha-menorah al ha-shulchan, shekinege panesh ha-menorah, kedichsi, vayasem ha-menorah ba'ol moed, nocha ha-shulchan, michlal, de la ha-ir al ha-shulchan, ha-is ha-menorah, that the purpose of the menorah, being placed where it was placed, is to shine on the shulchan. It's supposed to be there, shining on the shulchan. It's not there to provide light. It's not there on its own as its own entity. It's there because of the balance that's needed, that it should be reflecting onto the Shulchan. And he says that's what we see in Bahalosra, Mulpriyam Nora, that's the Shulchan. That's another reference that there's this comparison. The Rashbam doesn't bring that up, Ya'i Rishiva Saneros. Great. So that works very well. He goes on to say it depends on the orientation of the menorah. It's not going to necessarily work out in some ways. So what do you see? You see, that, again, the value, okay, of this balance, that a person is supposed to balance the two worlds in this world. There's the Ruchnius and there's the Gashmius requirements that we all have. Okay? There's a certain amount of time. And a man is constantly struggling, trying to balance his need for closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Ruchnius, and his need for something like Gashmius, which will very often take you away from Ruchnius. Okay? It happens to be a person can bring a lot of ruchnius into his work, and that could be the symbolism of the light of the menorah shining onto the shulchan. You have the height of physicality, but if it's connected, okay, if the light is pouring onto it, so when a person goes to work, maybe he's going to be working like the Mordechai says in Masechet Shabbos. Mordechai says in Masechet Shabbos that there's a mitzvah to go to work. He says a person is allowed for a dvar mitzvah to go 3 days before Shabbos on a journey for a dvar mitzvah, and the Mordechai says a dvar mitzvah even means for a parnasa, okay? So as the pasuk says, I think in the Kehelas, for ei chayim misha asher ahavta, look at life with the woman who you love. First, so the Gemara talks about that and says it's talking in the context of a person has to have life, a job, with the woman that he loves. The woman that he loves is who? Is the Torah. With Torah. That you have a balance. You have to have both. A person has to have his life, his job, his profession, but there's Torah there. That means he's scheduling his work around his learning. That means he's using his money that he makes during work wisely. That means when he builds a nice house and he builds a garden and he builds and he goes on vacation, all of those are there connected to his ruchnius. Okay, the house, when he doesn't keep the beggar outside, he welcomes the beggar in. Yeah, his shoes might be dirty. I forgot who it was. I think it was Rav Chanan came collecting by a certain rich man, and it was a snowy, muddy day. He went around the backside, knocked on the door. And the rich man answered the door, opened the door, and he said, "What are you doing? Why did you come to?" He's like, "I'm all muddy." He's like, "You've ruined years of work that I've done." So what are you talking about? I've always tried to teach my daughters that there's nothing in the world that's as important as the value of Torah. And you're coming in through the side. I want you to come through the front, and I want you to put your muddy boots on my beautiful carpet, And I wanted my daughter to see that there's no such thing as the values in this world. Yeah, I have a nice house. But you come around, you open the door, you let her in. The daughters all saw the white carpet, got all muddy with Rav Elchanan's holy steps, walking on his carpet. And that's the way he taught them. That's the true values in this world. I'm not saying you have to make your carpet muddy on purpose, but it's supposed to show you that when you have great things, okay, it's not just because for your own edification, for your own good feeling, etc. You're supposed to use them for mitzvahs. You have a nice house, bring in Talmid Chachamim, make it a gathering place, make it a parlor meeting for tzedakah, etc. There's so many things that you can do with the gashmius that you have. The more gashmius you have, the more responsibility. You have a car. Not everyone in Beit Shemesh has a car. So when you see five chassidim on the side of the road, a Herzog and Yarden every day, it's like that. You have a minivan, all the best. Pile them in. Where are you going? Next stop, you know? Bring them down. You know, so the more gashmius that you have, the more responsibility you have to use it. Why? Because the light of Torah, the light of the Torah, the light of mitzvos, right? Remember, the menorah represents the height of Torah, but also everything included within. Even mitzvos, which are on a lower level, they're near. They're not quite, not or, but all that is represented, all that to shine on your daily life. All that to shine on your shulchan and on your gashmias, and it should all be influenced. But the fact is, in the Kodesh, there's a balance. And a man is struggling, and a man sometimes feels an identity crisis as he's going back and forth between Gashmias and Ruchnias. They're not exactly in the same place, right? There's the menorah, it's shedding light on there, but it's still separate. It's still separate from the Shulchan. It's still separate from Gashmias. There's still a struggle. And it could then, and for 99.99% of the tzaddikim in the world, that's the place where we play. We play in the balance between Gashmias and Ruchnias, trying to struggle and make it all work. But if you want to go a little further, we move beside the parochas, now we're in the Kodesh Kodashim. What do we have there? There we have the Aron. And what does the Aron symbolize? The Aron doesn't take up any makam at all. The Aron is beyond space. It's beyond, it's almost beyond time. One day a year, the holiest day of the year. But we know, if you look at the Maran Makam, well, I'm sure most of you know this, in Megillah, it says, Mesoras b'yadeinu, we have a Mesoras, that the Makam Aron eino min amida. It doesn't take place, there's no place of it. If you measure from the walls of the Aron to the wall of the Mishkan, and you measure from the wall of the other side of the Aron to the wall of the Mishkan, and you add it together, it'll be the same distance as if you take a tape measure from one end to the other. That means the Aron, and you see it, but it doesn't take up any place. Why? Because that's where the Gashmias and Ruchnias take place in synthesis and perfection, where a person's not struggling anymore. Where a person, most of us, 99% of the people you'll ever meet, including the great tzaddikim, don't work that way. Certainly, in Zman Hazeh, we can't work that way. But it's a goal. It's a goal. And what's in the Aron? What's in the Aron?
Luchos.
The Luchos, okay. What else?
Sure.
Senes Man is also there. Right? If you look at, actually, I forgot to photocopy it, but the Pasuk of Aidman says, Vayomer Moshe Zeh Hadavar Ashatziva Hashem Meloha Omer Mimenu, take him Meloha Omer of the Man. La Mishmeres L'Doro Seichem. Put it as a Mishmeres. Mishmeres means a Geniza. They put it inside the Aron. And L'Doro Seichem, Rashi says, in the time of Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah was Mochiach then. Why aren't you learning Torah? How are we going to have Parnasa? He took out the Tzenes Haman, and he said, look, Atem Ru'u Dvar Hashem. Shamalu Nemar L'Ru'u. Bazenis Parnasu Avasechem. With this man, your parents were supported. Harbe Shluchim Yesh L'Makom Mahachi Mazal Nirei. Hashem has many, many Shluchim to send Parnasa your way. If they had confidence and Bitachon, which is the whole message of the man, they wouldn't be thinking about how we go this struggle. How am I going to work? How am I going to learn? I'm struggling back and forth and back and forth. But in the place of Kodesh Kodashim, which is beyond place, there's a perfect harmony. In the same place of the Luchos, okay, the absolute Torah Miyad Hashem. I mean, if the Or Torah is represented by the menorah, then the Luchos themselves are Torah itself. Okay, and that's placed in there. But what else is placed in there? The Tzenes Man is placed inside. So you see a perfect harmony without dissonance between Ruchnius and Gashmius. Okay? So the goal, the ultimate goal, is a person should realize you're trying to combine it. Now, most of us, halavai, and it's certainly our goal in life, are supposed to be in that balance, struggling between the two different values, okay, apparently different values of Gashmius and Ruchnius. But the goal is to synthesize them and combine them as much as possible. And before we finish, I'd like to share with you one mind-blowing piece from the Chafetz Chaim. who describes how the struggle sometimes goes down. He says, "Vasisa menorah zahav tahor miksha tase menorah yirechav akavo." Okay, so we know the shulchan, as we said before, is in the tzafon, and the menorah is in the darom. Now the gemara says that a person who wants to yachkin, who wants to be smart, should look towards the menorah. Yadrim, person who wants to become rich, yatzpin should go towards the north. That means in your direction of Shemona Esrei, right? You should face, if you want to get rich, you face the north, facing the shulchan, where the shulchan used to be. Right? So, of course, you can just daven like this, and then you get both, maybe. I don't know. You shuckle like this, I don't know what you get. But maybe it's better to go side to side. But he points out, there's a pasuk in Kehelas. Listen to the pasuk very carefully. It's going to be very worthwhile. It says, Holech el darom, v'sovev el tzafon. Sovev, sovev, holech haruach. V'al, sivivosav shav haruach. He says like this. Okay? The whole tachlis of a person is Holech al Darom. The pasuk says, "Go to the Darom." The whole tachlis is we should go towards Chachma, and but what? Sometimes we have to survey, turn to the north. El Safon. What is it? Safon. The Shulchan. Sometimes why? We need a parnasa. We should Holech al Darom, but when we go to Safon, it should be survey, just a mere turn, and I'll get back to the Darom, to the menorah as soon as I can, right? But what happens? A person he starts his, with all the good kavanas in the world. He's Holech al Darom. And it says, I'm just going to make a little bit of parnasa. But the reality is, sovev, sovev. He doesn't come back. He keeps on sovev. And keeps on going off to the tzafon. And he forgets about the dorum. Right? And then what happens? Holech haruach. And then you die. Your whole life you spent, I'll get back to the Torah. I'll get back to the Torah. I want to be holech darom. It was supposed to be soved. No, but it was soved, soved. You were constantly. Then you die. And it says, V'al sivivosav shav haruach. Because of the sivivos that you did, instead of just being holech al darom, and you didn't properly, just merely soved, but you were soved, soved el tzafon, al sivivosav shav haruach. You have to come back in another world, in another gilgul, because you didn't accomplish what you're supposed to in this world. Al sivivosav shav haruach, because of the sivivos that you did and you failed to accomplish what you're supposed to do, to be holech al darom in this life and to balance it properly with the right amount of sovev el tzafon, therefore you're not going to accomplish it, and time goes faster and faster and faster until it goes out of control, and then you look back on your life and you're like, wow, what did I accomplish in this world? So he says you have to metaki, so a person has to be very, very careful about how he's balancing this world, because so many people try to balance and they think they're doing the balance and they think that, oh yeah, I go to shul and I find myself in the base of medrash and I'm learning, you're falling asleep during your learning and you're not paying attention or you don't show up very often. You have to realize why you're here. The whole goal is that you should be holech al darom with the right balance of sovev al safon. But if you mess it up, you're going to have problems. So hopefully, Ezras Hashem, all of you guys, as you're headed back for the next couple of months, will remember this lesson. Okay, we'll remember the whole tachlis of life is that we're supposed to play in the place of Kodesh, but our goal is Kodesh Kodashim. So have a good chance.